Isn't this a sports show?
Clinton has said accurately, I might add, on the Facebook page. Almost entirely sports. A show where Josh reads all of his tweets. And I have no counter-argument to that. That is true and fair.
Almost entirely.
Excuse me. I'm talent, sir. Unhand me.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I am Joshua Briscoe. Rudy with the reverse slam. Beard with a judgmental gaze. What's up, Beards? How you doing?
I'm here.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this the most important thing I could be talking about? Well, I mean, probably not. Debatable.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I wanna die. I don't wanna live anymore.
Welcome to Almost Entirely Sports, everybody. Emergency Podcast Edition. We haven't played this song in a really long time because we haven't had a reason to. I haven't been in this studio in a really long time because we haven't had a reason to. Go ahead and you can play it.
Friends, I won't need them where I'm going. My mortality is at its end.
This is where we are at. We are pushed to the point of an emergency podcast. I'm in here in the ESPN Kansas City studios. It feels like home. It's weirdly early for us to be talking on the radio. As we're not really on the radio, but we are on the Almost Entirely Sports Facebook page and obviously going up for the podcast, where if you're wondering, hey, are you going to do more of these? I don't know, maybe. We haven't brought in the Monday emergency show for a Chiefs win yet, but we are, I would say we're looking at a possibility of doing it whenever the internet is melting the bleep down. Also, I could curse if I wanted to. Like that, technically, who's going to stop me? Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg, more like Beards, what's up?
I was playing the intro music for this, and I was getting a little nervous. I couldn't remember if this is the bleeped version or not that I played. And then I was like, oh, I don't care. We're on Facebook.
It doesn't matter that much.
To credit, though, it was the censored one.
Good. I'm glad that you have that one easily at hand. The Chiefs lose to the Colts last night. I was hosting the post-game show with Brad Porter, so maybe you already got some of these takes. If you want the full post-game show with the audio and the callers, and sometimes some of those callers were real sad, and I accidentally was a little mean to a few callers.
And one was asleep.
And a caller literally, did you cut that audio?
I have not, but I know where it is. I can find it. You want me to try and find it real quick?
I would love that if you would. One of the callers legit felt he was asleep on the line, and Beards will find that audio for us at some point. Chris Jones gets hurt. He could be out for a little bit now. It sounds week to week was the phrase used by Ian Rappaport. He said it appears to be the most significant injury out of last night for the Chiefs. That makes sense because he was ruled out so quickly. But the Chiefs lose a game. They drop to 4-1, and it's literally the worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career. Team-wise, scoring-wise, they were half as good as they've been in their worst game so far. They put up 13 points. This team that never even puts up 25 or less. This is a 26-point team, and they put up 13 last night. And some of y'all are still up here in my timeline talking about the damn run defense. And I wanna die. Really wanna die so bad. Because my friends, my family, my fellow countrymen, members of Chiefs Kingdom or whatever, that's the wrong place to start here. And I've been disagreeing about this with people that I think generally know what they're talking about. So maybe reasonable people can disagree on this. But man, I feel like I've got the stats for you here. I feel like I've got the math. I feel like I've got the understanding of all of this that a lot of people are just kind of missing. And it's really frustrating because I don't think it needs to be this way. The Chiefs have given up 180 yards on the ground in three consecutive games. That's true. Has the run defense been good? Not particularly, no. The defense last night gave up 19 points to the Colts. 19 points, and that wasn't fluky. They forced one turnover. It was a nice play from Tyrann Mathieu, capitalizing on the kind of thing Jacoby Brissett does every once in a while. And a bunch of field goals because the defense was pretty good in the red zone, pretty good, honestly, they're really good in the red zone. The only time they weren't good in the red zone was when Anthony Hitchens' soul left his body whenever Jacoby Brissett pretended to almost throw the ball over his head. That's the L. The biggest play they had on the ground was on that first drive. Darren Lee could have made a play to stop that one at the line of scrimmage or just passed it. Instead, Marlon Mack goes for 30 yards. The biggest play of the night for the Colts offense was a Bashaud Breeland defensive pass interference, 53 yards downfield. Starting here, running the ball, making running the ball the thing that concerns you most deeply on this Monday is genuinely really confusing to me. I really don't understand why you would end up doing that. You could go time of possession, okay? Let's do that. Let's do time of possession. Doesn't matter. I've explained why on this very show / podcast feed / Facebook page already, okay? Time of possession's a made-up thing. That is not impactful. You might be able to look at it and then learn some stuff about the game, but it's not changing the course of the game. What does change the course of the game is the number of offensive possessions that you have. If you are an offense that's going into this game as the favorite or as the better offense, you would love to have 20 possessions. You would love to just be rip-roaring down the field, both direction if you must. But the number of possessions, way more impactful than the length of them. As I've said here many times over the last week or so, there's no bonus points for having a long drive. The Colts had these long drives that were ending in field goals. Every single other game in the history of Patrick Mahomes playing quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, that would have been an enormous victory. So now you're gonna circle back around on that run defense after seeing that offense be an apocalypse, and you're going to start with that run defense. Say, well, okay, here's what would make sense. Here's where I would allow that, okay? If the Chiefs had the ball four times and you really had as little variance as possible, or as much variance as possible, as much randomness as possible, and as little consistency and as small of a sample size, maybe there'd be a conversation to have there. I went back and checked the numbers. I say that as a threat. Against the Jaguars, the Chiefs had 8 possessions with Patrick Mahomes on the field. There were 2 with Matt Moore. I'm not counting those because it was Matt Moore. In fact, I actually created a stat for this. A fun little acronym for this, okay? But they had 8 possessions with Patrick Mahomes against the Jags. They put up 37 points. Against Baltimore, they had 10 possessions, but once they ended up kneeling it out, 33 points. Against Oakland, 11 possessions, kneeled it out once, 28 points. Detroit, 11 possessions, in a game where they actually gave it back twice, but I'm not discounting turnovers. Those happen. 11 possessions there, 24 points. And against Indy last night, how many possessions do you think they had?
Like 2?
They had 10 with a kneel down at the end of the first half, so I'm counting that as 9. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here. Whenever we talk about sample size and wanting the better offense, if you are the better offense, you want to have as many possessions as possible. That's true, but you're going to have the same number as the team opposite you, unless you turn it over all the time like the Chiefs did on a kickoff, you know, with the Lions. That'll change things, but if you're just scoring and then kicking it back and scoring and kicking it back and scoring and kicking it back, you're going to end up with the same number of possessions, maybe off by 1. So, you know, a thing that came up on Twitter was like comparing the Chiefs' offense to Steph Curry shooting 5 threes as opposed to shooting 20 threes. That's simply like an enormous reach here. The Chiefs had 9 possessions trying to score. That's my new sentence here, okay? If you're going for a kneel down, I'm not really counting that as a possession in the traditional sense because you're trying to get a first down and then run the clock out or just straight up run the clock out. So with Matt Moore out there, I'm not counting those in this metric because the quarterback is different. And I'm not counting kneel downs because I just think that sort of messes up. It's an unnecessary piece of noise in the math. I'm trying to actually make sure we're all evaluating the same thing here. Possessions trying to score is PTTS. Or PTTSPG for possessions trying to score per game. Okay? That's my little handy-dandy thing here for understanding all of this. The Chiefs ended up with They ended up with 9 possessions trying to score last night. Not a lot, but 9, okay? The Chiefs averaged 9.5 possessions trying to score coming into this week. Now, you could say the 8 against Jacksonville is brought down because the offense was so good that they ended up just pulling Mahomes out towards the end. That game was chippy or whatever. You can do that if you want. But they had the exact same number of possessions and possessions trying to score as they did against the Ravens. 1 fewer against the Raiders, and then 2 fewer than they did against the Lions. We're talking about a variance of +1, +-0, -1, -2, compared to the games they played before this. The Colts didn't keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines any more than the Jags and the Ravens and the Raiders and the Lions did. Now, again, in 3 consecutive games now, teams have given up all these rushing yards. These teams have come in and run the ball and everything. And they've ended in field goals. They ended in field goals so many times last night. The offense was a problem. We're talking about this a little bit on Time Czars, the Athletic Chief podcast, me and Nate Taylor and Seth Kaiser. It's up now wherever you get your podcast if you want to listen to it. We brought up, Seth and I had sort of brought up organically before the show, like neither one of us wanted to blow our big comparison, and then we both did. And it felt like Alex Smith football or that Steelers game.
Yeesh.
It felt like the Steelers playoff game, though, where they it was.
Why you gotta bring that up?
We looked it up because Seth did. We looked it up. I think it was 18-16 or something like that final score. 18-16 final score, whatever. It's 19-13 last night. These games, you go, oh, man, they just controlled the clock. They just controlled the flow of the game. They didn't. The Chiefs had the football in their hands trying to score 9 times last night. They averaged 1.4 points per possession, I believe. That's apocalyptic. That's horrendous. You score 28 points on 11 possessions against the Raiders. It's not Chiefs firepower, but it'll do. Against the Lions, 24 points from the offense, not great, but it'll do. Against the Jags, 37 points on 8 possessions with the actual starting offense out there. Wonderful. And so we can dig into like the actual spaces where it didn't work, why it didn't work and all of that. But for me, the reason that I'm starting talking about the run defense and the time of possession and the number of possessions and all of that is because the way I've seen these narratives flowing through Twitter today and last night are really, really frustrating. Because, no, the run D wasn't good, but they gave up 4 yards per carry, exactly, 4.0. That's why they lost? They lost on 4 yards a carry? They lost this game 4 yards at a time? I mean, the Colts are throwing for 5.2 yards per attempt, so I understand why they would keep running it. That offensive line is really good, and they were moving the ball on the ground. And they turned it into 19 total points. The only touchdown was the quarterback scrambling around the edge and Anthony Hitchens getting frozen. That's the thing you want to blame for what happened last night? That's how you're going to start your Monday morning. You're going to saddle up and start firing off the takes, talking about how they need to be trading for an inside linebacker. I just think it's really missing the point.
By the way, 13 points is half of Patrick Mahomes' career low.
Yes.
Going into this year.
Yes. 50% of his worst performance ever as a team. I believe it was the Cardinals game last year. They put up 26 in.
It was not going to find it because I was just looking at it. Yeah, it was the Cardinals game, 26-14.
I mean, 20 points gets it done. Or maybe you want to say you need to round it up a little bit. And here's the thing. So that's where that's my starting point, okay? That's my deep frustration. And it's not even criticizing the run defense, even though, as I told you last week, I just don't think it matters nearly as much as most people are going to try to make it sound. Which, by the way, even that has started Twitter trouble because I don't know because people don't want to read Seth's full article because the $3 a month for The Athletic is too much. I don't know. It bums me out because I don't think it's that hard or that just that complicated. Where again, like, you can be critical of it. And the fact that they ran the ball 45 times is pretty wild. But it's a really weird place to start. And so on Times Ours today, we started on the offense. And I'm starting here today because this has been my just overwhelming frustration. And there were multiple times, by the way, where the run D did matter late in the game when you're trying, when they were trying to get for the first downs to keep the Chiefs offense off the field permanently at the end, where that actually can happen when you're towards the end of the fourth quarter and the end is looming over your head. That's a place where your run defense matters. It matters on fourth and one. It matters on third and two. It matters on the goal line. You've never heard me, unless it was in a moment of pure sarcasm, say that the run defense literally doesn't matter at all in any circumstances. But this Chiefs run defense being poor through these last three games has mattered significantly less than conventional wisdom would lead you to believe. And I would argue that's never been more obvious than it is right now if you look at what the Chiefs did offensively in that game. And what they did defensively was hold the Colts to 19 points with relative consistency in the passing game. Their biggest problem was penalties. Had like 120 yards in penalties. But if Bashaud Breeland doesn't pick up that 50-some yard pass interference downfield, have all these little holding calls and all of that stuff, you might be looking at even fewer points from this defense. And frankly, I imagine we would all be talking about it very differently today if the result is different, because it was 19 points. If you could have the Chiefs give up that exact game defensively every game for the rest of the year, you would take that in a heartbeat. I know you would. I certainly would. I would take that game from the defense in a nanosecond from here on out.
They allowed one touchdown.
Yeah, it was Jacoby Brissett, freezing Anthony Hitchens. Yeah. And then it was all field goals. Kick, 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 kick. That enough? Another kick in there? How many kicks were there? Four would be 3, 6, 9, 12.
Yeah,
and
you're
the
good.
Touchdown. Yeah, kick, 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 kick.
Yep. By the way, Chiefs Reddit wasn't too happy about Vinatieri.
Yeah, I thought he was broken.
Yeah.
He comes back and
so did Chiefs Reddit.
Now he's making all his kicks. What's that?
It's a tease. You'll hear about that maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll have sad fans on Reddit on the actual show tomorrow.
Depending on what show it is.
It seems like if the Rays hold on here, it'll be a Chiefs nighttime show following baseball. But it'll be on the podcast page and on the Facebook page. May or may not be on the Facebook page. It'll definitely be on the podcast page, though, tomorrow as well.
I've currently been going through sad Chiefs Reddit fans.
Are you going to pull something from my timeline? Be honest, because I have some sad things.
No, probably not.
So, there's my two cents on the run D, okay? Beards, you've been almost listening.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss anything there? Is there a point that someone, we're on Facebook, has anyone said something wild on the Facebook page yet? Like, is there anything on the run? Because I don't want to, like, dodge any counter-arguments here. I took counter-arguments for 3 hours last night when the phone lines were wide blazing open. I don't want to seem like there's anything that I'm missing. I saw someone thought that this whole conversation was like intellectually disingenuous. To be like, oh, you're just picking things. No, I mean, the number of people that have shown up on this topic has been absurd. And for me, seeing this be something that has led games or led shows and discussions about this game has been mind-boggling, because I just think it's the wrong place to begin.
So, Josh in the comments section, this is in all caps, I'm hoping at least the first sentence here is, like, sarcastic.
I love this name, though. So
the season is over. They ran the ball 45 times. Everyone will do that to us now.
How's that gone so far? Here's the thing, and I'm glad that you read the comment, and I'm glad that person left that comment. They ran the ball on the Chiefs 45 times. And then the Chiefs, on 9 possessions, put up 13 points. If you think that's going to happen again, then the season is over. If the Chiefs are going to put up 1.4 points per possession, yeah, season's effed. Completely over. I don't think there'll be another football game this season where the Chiefs put up 1.4 points per possession. I think that's a ridiculous thing to expect. Understanding what happened on the offense is what we'll do in the last chunk of this emergency podcast / Facebook thing. But if that's genuinely your concern at this point, this is why I started the show where we did. You go, hey, they ran the ball 45 times on us. We're bleeped. That's the wrong... No. Teams can run the ball 45 times on you for the rest of the season. You can't score 13 points every game the rest of the season. If that would have been flipped, and that person would have said, here's what I believe. This season's over. The offense put up 13 points on 9 possessions. They're going to do that every game the rest of the year. Then I would say, I disagree, but at least your point makes sense. They didn't put up 13 points because the Colts ran the ball 45 times. That's the whole point that I'm making here. Because on 9 possessions against Baltimore, who ran the ball with a ton, they put up 33. Or against the Raiders, on 10 possessions, they put up 28. Even against the Lions, when the offense was still having its troubles, they ended up with, 2-point-something per possession, and it ended up being enough because they got the Bashaud Breeland bailout. But the reason these last two games, the reason they lost on Sunday night, and the reason that Detroit was so touch and go there is because Matt Stafford made some plays through the air, and in both games, the offense was off. Mahomes was missing the stuff that was available to him in both games. There were drops, there were turnovers. And the offense wasn't as good as it's been. It wasn't as good as it was for the first 19 games in Mahomes' career, 20, whatever it would be.
Also injuries.
And they have been decimated by injury. So yeah, I mean, if everyone wants to come run the ball 45 times on the Chiefs, I would love it. I would love that. I hope, however Jacoby Brissett's stat line ended up, 18 of 29 for 151 and no touchdowns and a pick, bring it home. I would love that. I would take that every time. Because the Chiefs defense has to clear the bar of 20 points every game. Because, I mean, listen, the defense isn't, I'm not saying the defense is so good that they can bail out a bad Chiefs offensive day. They can't. I've never expected them to be able to do that. You shouldn't have either. That's not what this team does. This isn't what they exist for. They exist to try to occasion to hold teams in the 20s. Just in the 20s at all. Holding them in the teens is stunning. Hold teams in the 20s, and the Chiefs will win. That's the formula, and the offense didn't hold up their end of the bargain last night. So there's my defense take. Offensively, there are issues. Cam Irving was a swinging gate last night. Justin Houston consumed him on 4th-and-1 and ended a play that could have gone for a first down. It was a weird play call. I didn't love it, but there was some space. If Williams would have been able to cut back to his left, there was a big hole there. He would have probably met a safety near the line to gain. I don't know how that goes, but he had no hope because Justin Houston closed down that side of the field in 0.4 seconds because Cam Irving olayed him like a bullfighter. I was going to say bull hunter, and that's different.
The matador?
The matador is perfect.
There you go.
I was looking for bullfighter. And was going to say bull hunter. The Colts played this game without three starters, including Darius Leonard, who's important, and their two starting safeties. Andy Reid, after the game, said the reason they didn't run the ball more was because they were banged up in the secondary, and he thought they could take advantage of that, and Andy Reid is damn right. He should have thought they could take advantage of that. They should have. The fact that they didn't worries me deeply. Mahomes talked after the game and said that they played man coverage, which is what the Lions did, which is also what the Patriots did in the playoffs last year. And he cited the man coverage. He said they got there, they got to him with four guys rushing the quarterback, got pressure with four, played really good man coverage, and that was the recipe. So I'm not buying a blueprint because pulling that off is difficult. There's not a cheat code for the Chiefs, but that's tough because that's worked well 2 weeks in a row for opposing defenses. They've doubled Kelce a lot and played good man defense everywhere else. And Damian Williams should have caught that touchdown that was hit him in the fingers in the end zone. Mahomes should have hit DeMarcus Robinson on the right sideline. That one play that clearly, like, if that was Tyreek Hill, it would have been a touchdown, but it wasn't Tyreek Hill, so Mahomes needed to take off a couple inches off the end of that football. And there were misses offensively. The pass blocking was not good at all, ever. Mahomes was rattled. He was getting stepped on. And he was getting hit, knocked off his spot. That amazing touchdown pass that he threw was him doing crazy Patrick Mahomes things, and he needs to be able to do some normal good quarterback stuff, and it's really hard to do that whenever you're constantly running for your life. And they just disrupted him constantly. I was on SB Nation Radio last night, and the producer DM'd me at like 7:30. It was like, hey, can you come on with us at 1 a.m. or whatever if the Chiefs win tonight? I said, sure. I was going to be here anyway. And whenever I talked to the host, he said, honestly, whenever we were booking guests, I figured I'd be talking to the person coming off a win here, the guy covering the team coming off a win. But here we are anyway. But yeah, that's true. He said, what happened to Mahomes? He said, they keep him guessing. And then he corrected himself. He said, not really guessing. He didn't tell me he was guessing. But what was going on? I said, you know what? Honestly, I like the word guessing. I really do. Because he was constantly guessing which of the five doors in front of him, four doors, Mitch Schwartz was fine. Because he's a robot alien. We don't deserve Mitch Schwartz. But of the four other doors in front of him.
We need him.
Yeah, for sure. Of the four other doors in front of him, he never knew which of those swinging doors was going to fly back in his face. So he was doing a little bit of guessing.
Which one has the tiger behind it?
They all did, was the problem.
Yeah.
And then even more scary than that, Beards, one of them had Justin Houston behind it. It was just tiger, 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 Justin Houston.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not. And, I mean, Wiley wasn't good. Ryder wasn't good. LDT wasn't great. Cam Irving was a nightmare. Ryan Hunter came in and was immediately bad. It's tough, man. It's tough. They're probably going to bring back Jeff Allen, I would imagine. He's the new CJ Spiller. Is there a pun we can make there? Like, Jeff Allen's like a lineman, so is there like a... like a chubby CJ Spiller pun we could work on. You can tweet that at JB Briscoe. I'll take submissions. Everyone seems to like Jeff Allen, by the way. So, like, don't tag him and tell him that I called him chubby CJ Spiller. Because he'll kick my ass. And I'll deserve it. And if I'm going to get my ass kicked, I'd like it to not be deserved. One thing that comes up whenever they're talking about man defense, man defense, man defense, man defense. The Chiefs offensively are going to eventually shred a zone, okay? You can give them zone for a little bit, but you give them enough zone looks. Reed's got the routes. He's got the plays. Mahomes is going to read it, and it's going to work out just fine. They're going to eventually put up a billion points on you through the zone, okay? If you try that against them. In a man defense, you have an issue of winning these one-on-one matchups, and I don't know how a team that doesn't run a ton of man in the Colts, without their two starting safeties, is able to hold down the Chiefs offense all night. However, obviously no Tyreek Hill. And Sammy Watkins was out there for like a play and then disappeared. And whenever that game plan shifts to Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, it's definitely easier to run with those guys than it would have been for Hill and Sammy Watkins. And whenever Tyreek Hill comes back, I do think the sort of perpetual problems with the man defense are going to go away to some extent, right? To some extent, I think you're going to see Tyreek Hill demand the kind of attention that then frees up Travis Kelce from a double team. Or if you are going to be sticking with man, you're going to either double one of those guys, or if you try to double both of them, everything else on the field is the truest form of one-on-one matchup you can get, or you're sending even less pressure And the Lions were getting their rushing four really consistently. So I'm not long-term worried about the Chiefs' offense as long as Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce are all in it. If those three guys are a part of it, I'm pretty much good with it. You know what I don't love? Getting the football punched out constantly. Like, that might have been the best play of the night. Although a couple of Mahomes' best throws didn't count. But that screen to LeSean McCoy.
The touchdown was pretty sweet.
Fair. All right, that's one.
Yeah.
Some of his second, third, maybe his second, third, and fourth best throws of the night didn't count. And the best play that I would argue that the offense created was the play to LeSean McCoy. That screen, it was one of his two touches. He didn't show back up on the field after that. He didn't even carry the ball. Nate brought that up on the podcast this morning. That like, hey, Andy Reid pretty much just told LeSean McCoy to watch the rest of the game after that fumble, which is kind of interesting. But whenever you unveil one of those big dramatic screens, and it's moving everybody around, and it's creating all this space, and you got all these blockers, and then your running back gets snuck up on from behind, the ball gets punched out, and you're going the other direction. That's so deflating. And the game was moving in the other direction. It was changing. Things were different there in that moment. And then the ball comes out, and everything collapses again. So for me, I think those are the two biggest storylines. I think that's what I felt the need to present you with in an emergency context here.
Injuries.
There's still so much that at this moment we don't know for sure. So again, like Tyreek Hill coming back is going to be huge. I guess I can also mention Frank Clark. I'll do that briefly also. Chris Jones probably going to miss some time. That game against Houston this week is going to be
scary.
Wild. That game could be 55-54, just like I thought it was going to be last night. I'm very smart and good at football. No Chris Jones next week would be a tremendous problem because he's both good in the run defense and he is, I can say, honestly, I think I can say this relatively non-confrontationally or non-suspiciously or anything. Chris Jones is the best pass rusher on this defense. Like, Frank Clark has to take that crown from him and he hasn't yet. Best pass rusher on the field last night was Chief last year, so that's pretty cool. That's really close to being helpful.
Is it?
No. It just makes it worse. But so if Chris Jones is out for an extended period of time, that blows. The interior of the offensive line has significant problems. Eric Fisher missing from this offense is a significant problem. Sammy Watkins being out is a significant problem. I don't know what his timetable is going to be. Don't know how much longer on Eric Fisher. Tyreek Hill probably plays against Houston. Andy Reid, I think, said today that he didn't take any contact in practice last week. Maybe you try to get some games out of him or some plays out of him against Houston. Mo Claiborne came back, started with a really low snap count, and it's fine. But Chris Jones and that injury really, really matters. I don't really have it for Anthony Hitchens. Like, you'd rather your starting linebacker not be hurt, for sure. But I don't know if it matters, like, that much. Ben Neiman can't be in there at running downs. Toriano Daniels hurt, but he can't be in there on running downs either. Reggie Ragland was active. Got pressure once on Brissett. Okay. That's something that we'll probably hopefully have a little more information during tomorrow night's show and learn more throughout the rest of the week. But it's going to be really interesting to hear from Spagnuolo this week and to get a little more from Andy Reid and to talk to Mahomes tomorrow? Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. I'm looking forward to seeing what we learn more about this week. But at this point, I'm still annoyed about anyone starting a conversation about that game with the run defense and not the offense putting up 13 freaking points. And a bunch of mistakes. And, like, listen, second and 30, that little run stunk.
That was almost the ugly play of the game.
It would have been, except for my prediction before the game was so bad it had to jump it. You can listen to the post-game show on the 810 mobile app or 810WHB.com, or tweeted it out from the 810 Facebook and posted it, or tweeted it out from the Twitter and then posted it out on the Facebook. And it was like Andy Reid also said, you know, he's got to get the bigs playing better on both sides. That's true. The interior defensive lineman, Colin Saunders, was playing because Alex Okafor was out and then Chris Jones got hurt. The interior defensive linemen weren't doing enough to keep the linebackers clean. Like, that's pretty objectively true. But the linebackers also weren't great. The old defensive line wasn't great. The edges were okay in terms of keeping Mack inside. There wasn't a lot of, like, bouncing around the edge that was causing a big problem. Tyrann Mathieu was pretty good on that front. Mathieu was pretty good throughout the game. I just, at this point, like, I'm just kind of shrugging at a bunch of stuff. Because everything that's not the offense completely sputtering, I feel like is secondary or tertiary to the reason the game actually went the way that it did last night. You guys have something else, Beards?
Two things. One, injury that you forgot about, Mahomes' ankle.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that he got stepped on. Like, you're right. Like, it mattered late in the game. There was one sack.
I mean, he got hurt twice, basically.
That's fair. There was the one sack where he probably tries to escape backwards if he's maybe a little more confident in his feet, but he ended up getting tangled up. But I honestly, like, I didn't think that mattered as much as a bunch of other stuff going on did. But yeah, that's true.
Also, I have the audio of the guy that was snoring on the postgame show.
Let's end the emergency pod with this. Have we covered our bases for the most part here? We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Probably.
I needed to get off some takes about the run defense and versus the offense and all of that. If you've got other questions and things you thought we missed, you can tweet me at JB Briscoe. You can tweet Beards at Beards McFly, and I can take a list of other stuff for tomorrow night. You know what? If we had a normal show, we could do this. Never mind. My idea was going to be interesting, but I can't do it. We can't do it with the post baseball show. But
dang it, baseball!
Come on, baseball! What are you doing? Why is Steven still being played? Huh? End when it's summer. I think we've covered what I need to today. I would say to go listen to Times Ours with me, Seth, and Nate. We'll talk to Seth over on 810 tomorrow night whenever we're available. Sad fans on Reddit will be around tomorrow. And if you need more of these dulcet tones, go to the 810 mobile app and go on to additional programming. You can listen to the entire postgame show with me and Brad Porter from last night. Thought it was a really good show, all things considered, but here's a little extra for you. And then here is the highlight of that show. We went to the phones. Go to DJ. What's up, DJ, on the Chiefs postgame show? DJ?
Maybe he fell asleep.
I felt like I might have heard a snore.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he's asleep.
Okay, everybody be real quiet. Hold on. Beards, turn him up.
You put him to sleep.
Thanks for the call, DJ. Let's go to Greg. Greg, are you awake?
He's going to wake up with his phone still on.
Thank God. Greg, thanks for being conscious with us tonight. What's up? Do you notice how in there for Brad, the show went from being our show to me putting the caller to sleep? He said, you put him to sleep. Thanks, Brad. Real team effort. Will you make that into a liner? Then you make that into a liner.
Oh, of course.
That's really strong.
I'm saving this right now, actually.
Really, really good. All right, that was the post-game show. I promise it won't put you to sleep. Actually, I can't promise that, but I don't think it will. And thank you for hanging out with us here on the Emergency Pod. Recording it over here on the ESPN Kansas City side of things. We'll be back over on 810 at some point tomorrow. Also, of course, thanks for hanging out on the Almost Entirely Sports Facebook page. If you're not already in both these spots already, can't urge you strongly enough, go to facebook.com/entirelysports. It's so we confuse people. Facebook.com/entirelysports is the AES Facebook page. You can like that. That's where we're going to do all of these streams whenever we have emergency podcasts. And just subscribe to Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I have an emergency tweet. It's from Steve Fitzpatrick. You should look at your Twitter very quickly.
Honestly, I just clicked off TweetDeck for all of this because It's very good. It's the Facebook layout, and it's a fire Elmo, but it's just Elmo shaking his head.
Yeah.
I have now retweeted it at JB Briscoe. I'm sure Beards has.
Oh, yeah.
At Beards McFly. Oh, yeah. Also, Byron Pringle should have converted that first down on that super long play. He had a great block from Travis Kelce, and he didn't convert it.
Apparently,
here's
you
the
can't
thing.
Stop once you pop him.
Actually, he did stop.
Yeah.
He popped and did stop.
Yeah. So it was the Byron Pringle game after all.
If I was going to curse on a podcast, that's where I would have done it. We'll talk to you tomorrow over on 810. Subscribe to the podcast page, like the Facebook page, and we'll be back around in due time. Until then, bye, Mom.